the Public Youth Service Daily Newscast for December the 7th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock has defeated Republican Herschel Walker in his bid for re-election, according to NBC News projections. That victory earns a 6-year term for Warnock and grants Democrats a 51-49 edge in the Senate. NBC News reports ahead of the Tuesday runoff, Warnock's campaign relied on an extensive get-out-the-vote effort. They note that Warnock, Georgia's first black senator, largely let Walker's often incoherent words speak for themselves. Walker's rambling speeches became prime campaign material for Warnock and his surrogates. A new report urges Pennsylvania's governor-elect to revamp the state's unemployment compensation system as soon as he takes office in January. We get more from our Danielle Smith.
The Keystone Research Center report says Pennsylvania's online unemployment system fails the people who need it by not processing claims in a timely manner. It found only 56% of claimants received their first payment within 10 weeks. The center's executive director, Stephen Hertzenberg, says prior to the pandemic, the online unemployment system was compromised by IT issues and staff cutbacks. So it was overwhelmed when the pandemic hit. He says the backlog of claims peaked over 300,000. Which delayed or denied benefits to many.
The new governor needs to understand and not duck the broken system. You know, it's quite likely that in the next 4 years we'll go into another recession. So this needs to be an urgent priority. And we also need to modernize the system because it was built for the 1930s economy.
The report suggests several recommendations for soon-to-be Governor Josh Shapiro, from appointing a special team to review the system to restoring in-person unemployment service centers. In the meantime, the most recent figures show Pennsylvania's unemployment rate is 4%, and over 250,000 people are receiving unemployment benefits.
And farmers are facing record-high land prices due to a bevy of factors.
According to a U.S. Department of Agriculture report, Virginia farm real estate prices have risen 8.5% in the last 4 years. But cost isn't the only problem farmers face in trying to acquire land. Some black farmers find it challenging to lay claim to their place in the ag industry. Duron Chavis with the Central Virginia Agrarian Commons says the lack of intergenerational wealth among black families is a major factor in trying to buy farmland.
If I don't have the money, I don't have the money. The reality is, like, it's not like I could go walk into a bank and be like, hey, I'd like to get an equity loan on a home that I don't even own if I'm a renter. That's just not how this system works.
He sees more immediate solutions to this issue as land redistribution and reparative justice. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
This is PNS. A legal battle between former consultants for Alabama Power has revealed documents showing a critical lack of oversight by the Alabama Public Service Commission in holding utilities accountable for how it spends ratepayers' money. Catherine Carley has more for Soundbite Services.
A utility watchdog group says the former Matrix LLC consultants, under the direction of a utility executive, purportedly hired an investigator to surveil the CEO of Alabama Power's own parent company, who retired shortly before the investigation was publicly revealed. While the utility denies knowledge of any plot to oust its CEO, Daniel Tate of the nonprofit Energy and Policy Institute says it was lax oversight that led to what he calls the utility's reckless behavior.
Right, so they benefit from this scheme, and who hurts from this scheme are regular people in Alabama.
Tate admits it will be tough to uncover conclusively whether ratepayer money was used to pay for specific surveillance activities, since the Alabama Public Service Commission has not allowed for public scrutiny of the utility's finances in nearly 40 years. A recent report from Brown University's Climate and Development Lab calls the Alabama PSC one of the most politically motivated and environmentally hostile commissions in the country.
In this holiday season, shopping at local small businesses could bring as much as $88 billion. That's according to a survey from Intuit QuickBooks.
The poll finds 80% of small business owners say this holiday season is more important to their overall financial health than last year's. Diana Diaz, founder and CEO of the Goddess Mercado and Queer Mercado in East LA, says she formed a collective so crafters could share the space, split the rent, and support each other's vision.
I'm hearing a lot that we're going to be really impacted by recession, but what I see is that a lot of people are buying more crafty local art.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Finally, Eric Tadoff lets us know with Montana lawmakers looking at a large budget surplus, a group of hunters, scientists, and landowners is asking them to consider creating a trust for lands.
The Montana Citizens Elk Management Coalition has proposed a $200 million program to be known as the Montana Legacy Trust. Craig Jordanet is a member of the group and former fish, wildlife, and parks biologist. He says now is the right time to set up the trust, especially because the state doesn't have a permanent funding source to fill this need.
There's an opportunity now with budget surplus being maybe even at a historic level that we can make a proposal for a permanent trust that would go directly toward increasing and enhancing productivity of the land here in Montana.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.